What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we're going to be doing a book review of the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle. It is one of the most popular books in the past year, New York Times bestseller. And it was voted on by our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/selfhelpless as the topic and book you guys wanted us to review. So thank you so much. If you guys want to vote on upcoming topics for the show, you can go become a patron at patreon.com/selfhelpless.
I was definitely excited to read this book because we got so many recommendations for it this past year from our listeners. So I had not heard about it originally, and I ended up reading it and really enjoyed it and got a lot out of it. So one of the quotables from the book from Glennon Doyle is, "If you are uncomfortable, in deep pain, angry, yearning, confused, you don't have a problem, you have a life." And this is kind of along the lines where she talks a lot about in the book that we are kind of conditioned to like try to protect our hearts and our children's hearts and everybody. Like we're supposed to have our hearts in bubble wrap all the time, basically. Right. But kind of letting go of that, like, you know, what if we're supposed to feel everything? What if we're supposed to feel the pain and the feelings and everything? So that's kind of, that's where I believe for context, where it comes from. I also really love this. Ooh, I love this quote so much. This is about her when she was basically she was grappling with this concept of the fact that society has always told mothers that you have to basically put everyone's needs before your own. You basically have to lose yourself to be labeled a good mother. And Glennon brings up this idea about, you know, maybe it's not being a martyr for our children. Maybe it's being a model for them. So this is the context for this quote. It says, "What a terrible burden for children to bear, to know that they are the reason their mother stopped living. They will believe they have permission to live only as fully as their mothers allowed themselves to live." Whew. Damn. Whoa, dude. I don't know who needs to hear that right now, but I've witnessed this so many times where, you know, the women in my life, the mothers in my life do put themselves last, and they've been told it's selfish to put themselves first. And I really hope we can all encourage each other to take better care of ourselves as much as possible. As much as we can within our ability. I know that privilege plays a huge role in that as well. Anyway, and just going along this quote, she talks about basically her children watching how she navigates her relationship, we'll get in more depth about, but it's basically saying like, you know, I don't need to save my children. I need my children to watch me save myself. Anyway, you guys, listen, all right, we'll get deeper in. Okay, here we go. So Glennon Doyle, a little bit of background, accomplished Christian writer, was married to a man with a few children. And while on tour promoting her book about marriage, she fell in love with a woman. And from there, we are kind of taken on this path of Glennon sharing about the undoing and unlearning of her own conditioning, basically, when it comes to religion, sexuality, body image, race, and more. And she basically had to take all the things she had been told by society and other people and everything about being a good mother and a good Christian and a good woman and a good wife, and dismantling it and rebuilding it to what felt right for her, using her, you know, her inner knowing, her intuition, whatever you want to call it. And what I enjoy about this book is that it's really all about questioning things and not taking things at face value just because it's quote unquote the norm, which I love. You know, the theme about this show is like we're questioning everything. We're trying to find the right fit for us and what resonates with, you know, our deepest self. And so I resonated a lot with this book just because just the changes I've made in my life, I feel like a completely different person. And it's all come down to questioning my own beliefs, things that I've been trained to believe. One of the stories that kind of it starts off with, and I think this is really just going to be more about a discussion between me and Kelsey about our own conditioning and things that have happened in our lives, more so than kind of going bullet point by bullet point about the book.
Right.
But it does start off with this scene basically where she and her children went to some kind of like zoo or something. They were observing a cheetah who had been raised in captivity basically. And the trainer and the cheetah were interacting and all this stuff. And she saw that, you know, the cheetah had been trained to basically act like a dog because it was raised with a dog, to tame the dog. To tame the cheetah. So it's raised side by side with the dog. And the dog would kind of do some tricks and then the cheetah would do some tricks. And she noticed that when the cheetah kind of stepped away and was a little bit further away from the crowd, the cheetah was kind of looking outside of the gate into the wild, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she noticed that, you know, the cheetah's kind of body changed and was kind of different. The kids in the crowd were asking, like, you know, is the cheetah sad that she's been raised in, you know, this situation? Does she miss the wild and all of that? And the trainer's like, no, she doesn't miss the wild. She doesn't know any different. So that kind of sparks this idea of we have all been tamed in some way. Right. You know, the wild is within us. You can't take it out. But that's kind of that's how this book starts.
Right.
So how do you feel about that concept, Kelsey? Do you feel like that resonates with you being raised as a woman in America?
Yeah. You know, I didn't grow up in a particularly religious household. I've mentioned before on the podcast that once my parents got divorced, I split my time between two very different houses. And one of them was a more strict kind of Catholic household, although I am not Catholic. And so there were definitely, I think, pressures put on just in terms of being like a good girl. And who knows how much of that is nature versus nurture, if I was just going to be like that anyway, more of like a good student, a rules follower. One thing that's always stood out to me is kind of this pressure to rescue, that as women, you're supposed to kind of like take care of people. And if you see that something's wrong, that you should go help the situation. And I think in a lot of ways, that can be great and that can be a good thing to do. But sometimes you have to think about if that's even safe for you. It's kind of two contradicting things where we talk about women needing to be aware and be safe, and then yet also like go rescue people in situations that might not be safe for you to. I know growing up, I was told a lot, like, if you see somebody being bullied, if you see somebody who's having a hard time, you should step in. Like, you go be the leader, go step in and stop the bullying, stop something bad from happening. And so I did do that a few times growing up in school, like elementary school, middle school. And then sometimes that would put me into not very safe situations where then, like, a couple of times the guys became kind of like stalker-ish or creepy. And then I had to have like discussions with the principal and like all this stuff to keep me safe. But I was told, if you see something happening, you go insert yourself. You go be the person that makes sure everybody's okay and being taken care of. And I don't know how much of that is a gender thing. I don't know if that's just like people encouraging you to be kind and look out for others. I don't know. But that's something that, as I've gotten older, I've had to think about and just be like, what are the consequences of being like really warm and kind potentially to somebody who isn't a safe person to be that way with, like somebody who might misinterpret your kindness.
Mm. Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Along those lines, I think with my own conditioning, or not even conditioning, but just also just what poses a real threat in a lot of situations, is that every interaction I have with a man by myself, I feel is a potentially threatening situation. And so, right. Even just talking to Cam and stuff, it's like, oh, if somebody said that to me, I would tell him to fuck off or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I don't have the luxury to do that sometimes because I could be attacked.
Yeah.
Or something. And feeling like the niceness that I have to be in situations that I maybe don't want to be so nice in is a survival instinct. And I'm more talking about when I feel threatened in within like a man's presence, not kind of other things. But wanting to kind of stand up about something and then feeling like if you do, something bad is going to happen to you. And so, and even situations being, you know, younger, in my 20s, like I was followed to my car at one point by two men, was about to get in my car, and they were asking me what I was up to and where I was going. And I was so terrified, and I didn't try to like run or get in my car and drive off. I was nice. I was talking to them. Because I was thinking maybe I can convince them not to do anything to me if I'm nice, so you know? Scary. And I don't even know if it would have escalated to that if somebody saw and kind of like intervened, but stuff like that is like, I don't know if most of the men in my life have had that kind of situation happen. So that shit sticks with you. And even if you're going into a situation where it's not a threat, it can feel that way. So yeah. One thing that I remember as a kid, and I know Glennon talks about this in her book as well, is that all these stories that were told as little girls growing up, like Little Red Riding Hood, like, Hey girls, don't wander into the woods, 'cause you're going to get eaten by a wolf. Like, or like, what's the nursery rhyme about like somebody gets pricked by a finger. You know what I'm talking about? There's like a finger prick, and then I think they fall asleep. I don't know. But basically,
Sleeping Beauty?
Maybe. Is that right? I don't know, but basically this whole, all these themes with these like nursery rhymes or fairy tales or whatever, mm-hmm. of if a woman ventures off outside of what is expected of her, she gets hurt. She gets harmed in some way.
Right.
And I also remember as a kid that, and this is talked about in Untamed as well. The Adam and Eve story. I grew up in religious school settings, so everybody knew about the Adam and Eve story. And another kind of example of like, okay, when a woman kind of is seeking more or wants something different, things go wrong. Things go terribly wrong. And I remember being in elementary school when we're learning about the Adam and Eve story, about how Eve convinced Adam to like take the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and everything went to shit, right?
Right.
I remember the boys in school being mean to the girls, saying everything bad in the world is your guys' fault. Like everything, Jesus. Everything is a woman's fault. Everything is a girl's fault. You guys are the reason that there's suffering in the world as a fucking elementary school kid. So that shit, I mean, it's impossible.
Heavy load
that's a heavy
shoulder.
Load for an 8-year-old, right? Yeah. So that's like, I even forgot that. Reading this book made me remember those types of things because it's been the norm. She mentions like, even if you're looking at a shampoo bottle that is being marketed to a man or in a shampoo bottle that's being marketed to a woman, it's like the language on the woman's bottle is like calm and pure and beauty. And the, you know, man shampoo is like bold and strong and fuck shit up, you know, whatever. Like even just everything can be very, very subtle. Do you remember having any toys or anything as a little girl that you didn't see, you know, like the boys in your class playing with and stuff like that?
Oh, I was such a girly little girl. I mean, and I also played sports and all of that, but I had like Easy Bake Oven. I had all the Barbies. I was very girly in that sense. Loved makeup, all that. So yeah, I grew up in that environment of very much like I was playing with the girly toys and boys in my school were playing with the Hot Wheels and all that.
Right. Yeah. I remember like I had, you know, you have that little like fake kitchen and I mean, all the toys for the little girls. You got the little fake kitchen set up.
Oh,
it's like
I had
bright
the fake
yellow,
kitchen.
Right.
Yep,
you have the baby doll. It's like, we're teaching these little girls to be like, start cooking and taking care of babies. You're 2 years old. Catch up, you know,
start baking cakes by light bulb in your Easy Bake Oven.
That's a real fucking oven. Turns on.
Delicious.
It can
might
burn
I
your
add.
Finger. Yes. I loved it, by the way.
I can still taste that yellow cake with the chocolate frosting in my mouth. So fucking good. I loved my Easy Bake Oven. But yeah, also going through McDonald's getting Happy Meal toys, there's the girl toy and there's the boy toy.
Right. Right.
You know?
But it's just so funny. Like we're being gifted like kitchen appliances while the little boys are like, ah, look at my plastic truck that I'm freaking scraping all over the walls. You know,
yeah,
it's so, it's really fascinating. These things that we've just taken like, well, that's the way it is.
Right.
Glennon brings up a point in the book where she has two daughters and a son, I believe. And there's a bunch of kids at her house. They're all watching a movie. And she walks into the room and asks, hey, is anybody hungry? Anybody want a snack? And the boys they stay kind of glued to the TV. They keep staring at the TV and they answer right away, no thanks, or yeah, or whatever it might be. The girls all kind of look at each other and determine if the group is going to say no or yes. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, still do that.
I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Like we're not even told to trust our hunger in some situations. You know what I mean?
Right. Or like, don't be an inconvenience.
Don't be like, an inconvenience.
If you're the
don't
only one that out. Wants a snack, that's an issue. Like everybody has to want it or else you're going to be a burden.
Exactly. You don't want to make somebody do all that work just because you want a fucking pizza roll, right? Like that's, oh, I thought that was fascinating. And because she was able to observe it in a group setting, you know, there was like a few boys, you know, several boys, several girls, and all the boys did the same thing and all the girls did the same thing.
Wow.
I mean, so that was a fascinating moment I found and I could relate to that a lot.
Yeah.
And she talks about the fact that, you know, she obviously this inner knowing she always had about like who she was and what she believed, it was always there, even if it was kind of, you know, buried under some other things. And she struggled with an eating disorder and substance abuse and talks about just like numbing. She needed to like numb her inner knowing in order to kind of survive and get through her life.
Right.
So I find that, I'm sure we can all relate to that in some way where maybe you're feeling like you're not acting in alignment with what you truly believe. And so you have to like distract yourself or numb yourself to kind of get through that.
Yeah.
And she even talks about the moment where I think she was walking down the aisle to marry her husband. The story is basically she got pregnant at an early age, they got married, and kind of even knowing walking down the aisle, like this is going against my inner knowing and doing it anyway. So like,
right.
Even when you do hear it or listen to it or feel it,
right.
We're often told to ignore it and move on.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's like, it's not even the case that, oh, it's not there and we have to do so much work to uncover it to even find out what it is. It often is there and we do the opposite anyway.
Well, and also that I think idea of don't ask for too much. Like just take what you are getting and make the best of it. And
She does. She talks about that idea of just, you know, we're taught to just be grateful. Be grateful for what we have and not want any more. You know, just be grateful. Just be grateful that, you know, your partner has a job and XYZ, you know, like just be grateful for that and don't look outside of that.
And I would be curious too, for our male listeners, I want to know what your experience was growing up compared to ours, because we only have our perspective. And I want to know if you've felt any of the things we're talking about, or if it was so different and that you guys haven't felt that sort of pressure on you or anything like that.
Just absolutely. Yeah. So Glennon in her book, obviously she goes into a lot about being, you know, conditioned as a young woman and a girl and all this, and then, starts to kind of certain things kind of lead to the fact that she realizes, oh shit, I have a son too. What has his conditioning been like? Maybe it's something where, you know, you're not tending to your sons in the same way as your daughters, or, you know, those types of things, and not, you know, the conditioning for young boys and men and stuff is can be just as problematic. Like, suck it up, you know, don't feel your feelings, move on, be a man, you know, all of that stuff, leading to them feeling like they are not able to express themselves.
Right.
Oh my gosh. She brought up this idea that I completely related to, where she talks about how, you know, when women get together, they talk about, I mean, we talk about everything. We can get through like a life story in 15 minutes, basically. we really dig deep. And she was talking to her then husband at the time about like, oh, he had gotten home from seeing a friend or something. Oh, and she started asking, how's so-and-so's wife? How's the job going? How's this? What about, how's his mom doing? All this stuff. And he was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think fine. Well, what the fuck did you talk about? Oh, talked about probably the game, you know, the sports and the finance or the work. And so even, and I'm like, I feel like I've had that conversation with so many of my, my friends who are men about that's kind of the norm about what you talk about.
Right.
You don't.
And I wonder if that's preferred, if that's just something that like is a thing that men carry on and continue to do because that's like what you're supposed to do. But if you like actually do want to talk about your feelings or stuff that's going on, or if you are happy to kind of not talk about it. And also that's so like, we can't put a blanket on like all men. I know some very, very sensitive men who have friendships with other men. They talk about their feelings and stuff, you know, certainly not like,
yeah, of course.
The case across the board, but yeah.
Yes. And I'd imagine if you grow up thinking that you are not supposed to show your feelings, I'd imagine the thought of showing your feelings, even subconsciously as an adult, can be pretty scary.
Yeah.
It might lead to criticism or something else.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
She mentions in the book that her young son at the time had a couple like of his friends in the car, and she was asking them questions about, you know, themselves and how they felt about something. And one of the little boys started kind of opening up about something, and he kind of got shamed by the other two. And she had to basically step in like, no, share your feeling. That's a really courageous thing to do and all that stuff. So you're shamed if you're being shamed by, you know, little kids, that's going to stick with you the way that our conditioning is stuck with us.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting on the other side too. It's not just a one way kind of conditioning. Another concept that she brings up is this idea that it's often not like strangers who try to pull you away from your inner knowing or your intuition. It's often the people that really love you the most that you're the closest with, you know, the people that project their own kind of fear onto your situation and your feelings of not wanting to disappoint the people that you love, or, you know, that kind of concept. Of course, I resonated with that a lot too. Like, you want to make your family proud, and so many of our traditions we feel are based in such love. Like, we have warm memories about our families doing certain things for us or telling us certain things or sharing stories with us, that if we start to maybe disagree with some of those beliefs as we get older, we often feel like we're rejecting their like love in a way.
Right.
So I think that was an important point too, where, I don't know, have you ever felt like you had to kind of choose between doing what you wanted versus making somebody really close to you happy or, you know, feel better about something?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think divorce is such a big thing that a lot of families experience generationally. At least that is the case in my family, where there's divorce like kind of all over the place. And obviously my own divorce. But I think, yeah, you can, when other people in your life have gone through divorce, that can make their perspective on marriages very different, where some people might be really hard up on like, divorce is great. Like, it kind of depends on like how you come out of a divorce, right? So some people in my family are like, divorce is a great thing. You know, it's better for everybody if you feel that you're doing the right thing for you. And then there are some people who are like, don't get divorced. Divorced is like a recipe for loneliness and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what I mean? You have so many familial things and pressures put on you when you go through a divorce, of like not wanting to disappoint people.
Right. Absolutely. I would even say like, yeah, even just thinking about my own career choices, you know, have brought a lot of fear in other people kind of out, and, you know, felt like they needed to talk to me about it and address it. And
yeah,
this idea of like, I'm scared that you don't have a real job, or you're not going to have a real job, and you're going to not have that security and all of that. And like, well, you know, I'm scared too, but I'm fucking miserable with my status quo corporate job. So for me, it's worth the risk, you know, and being kind of willing to disappoint some people, or maybe make them a little afraid, you know, right. of what you're doing in order to kind of follow that inner knowing or wanting something different and wanting something more, because we are, even if it's kind of unconsciously or subliminally, we're taught not to go after much more or want more, or even when a case of, oh my gosh, in the case of women spending money and having wealth, oh my, that's a whole nother fucking podcast episode.
Right.
But just the way people talk to me versus Cam differently about money or work or whatever it might be, it's this theme of when they know I'm spending money on something, it's like a conversation. And when he's spending money on something, it's no big deal. That's what men are supposed to do. I mean, it's very strange.
Yeah.
So I've been in conversations this past year just about the fact that I spend money on different services, like a meal delivery service, because I don't enjoy cooking. People are very freaked out by the fact that a woman does not enjoy cooking and that I need to learn how to enjoy it.
Right? Yeah.
Where it's like, if Cam's like, I have a meal service, nobody bats a fucking eye. And that I have, I have a laundry service, I'm not doing our laundry, which has led to me growing my business and having more time for my family and all this stuff. And even the fact that I have to explain it right now in this moment shows my conditioning. You know, I have to justify
right.
why I'm spending my money on right. things that I want to spend it on.
Right.
You know, getting a personal trainer, that brought up questions about like, that's really expensive, you know, all that. And like, for me, it's completely worth it. And I'm responsible with my money, and I trust myself to manage appropriately. And so just right. those types of things that I have noticed, or being in social situations with maybe a man in my family and me standing next to them, and the different questions you might get asked by people where they ask the man about work and business or whatever, and they ask you about relationships and dating and, you know, yeah. like all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any kind of moments where you've been in conversation where you have felt like you were being treated differently as a woman? I know that obviously there's a million instances, especially being in entertainment and stand up, but
right
off the top of your head.
Well, I was just going to say too, and you're talking about getting the personal trainer and how people want to question you on that. And I feel like there's this message to women of like, invest in yourself and in your self-improvement, but not if it's at the cost of your relationship or your children's like,
yeah,
your care for your children.
Right.
Right, right, right.
Right.
So to see a woman like using her money to do what she wants to do and taking care of herself in a way that's like, quote unquote, like above the regular thing of, mm-hmm. you know, you could just watch a YouTube workout video for free.
Right.
But you have the ability now in your life to do something that's going to make you feel better. And you've talked before about it's helpful to you to have that external accountability.
Yeah. Like, I tried the whole YouTube video thing for 12 fucking years. Not working. I gotta try something different.
It's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen so many compilation videos online of when movie stars are being interviewed, and it will be like, let's say Avengers interviews, for example. So on a panel, it will be like Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., and Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
And the men will be asked questions about, I can't think of things specifically off the top of my head, but just very like professional.
How did you prepare for the scene?
Right. Professional questions. And then it will get to be Scarlett Johansson. And it's like, how do you feel knowing that you're giving men across America hard-ons? And it's
right.
just like, hey, can you maybe just ask me about like my acting? Because that's what I mm-hmm. do. I'm an actress. I just saw something on TikTok about an old Megan Fox interview during the Transformers time of like, you know, how does it feel knowing that you're like now the sex symbol of America and blah, blah, blah. And there's just such a drastic difference still in questioning right. between women and men.
Oh, yeah. And they even see, I mean, I think this has been brought up all over the place. The red carpet questions. It's all about, yes, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Versus, oh, how's everything going in your life? You know,
like, right.
It's becoming clearer and clearer to us, I think, how right. we're treated. And even, you know, in entertainment, I've mentioned, like, even how somebody introduces you to the stage can be like, you know, they're having your male counterpart come up to perform and they're like, you've seen him on Comedy Central and this and that, you know, and give it up. And then the next one is like, and we got a lady coming up and, you know, and maybe they're fumbling over your intro or they did, you know, or I've told this story probably before where somebody introduced me as, are you ready for a little vag? And then had no credits oh listed. Are you ready God. For a little vag? So I got up there and I said, thank you so much. Keep it going for a little dick. Anyway, but that stuff would happen all the time. Ready for a female? Oh, you know,
I love you, man. The comedy world lost an icon when you stopped doing stand up because that's incredible.
But yeah, I mean, that's even something like that as simple as introducing you for your job. It can be so very different. And
all the time.
Think about the audience perspective. They're seeing the men go up there with all their credits listed. They're like, oh, wow, this person's so credible. And then you have similar credits or the same shit and they don't list it. And they're like, who the hell is this lady? Right. So it just, it affects so much.
Right.
And like even being on set in like filming settings where, you know, people are going over jokes and like the better, everybody's kind of talking about what their jokes are and the better jokes are getting approved for the men to say on the show and the women are getting the shittier jokes that nobody really wants. Like, anyway, it's all very, very fascinating indeed.
Right.
There's also a point in the book where Glennon talks about being like the cream cheese parent. And she has this example of like bringing snacks to one of her kids' soccer games and how she brought like a couple cream cheeses or something. She didn't bring enough cream cheese options or something, right? Where it's like, there's a couple and people are encouraging her to bring like every type of cream cheese for the kids, something along those lines. Yeah. And how we have a tendency to really laser focus on our own family, our own situation, our own children, and her talking about encouraging us to like, instead of laser focusing, why don't we channel some of that energy into everybody else too? You know, the world at large, children at everywhere, all over the world, all over the planet. So I liked that as well as just, sometimes it's hard to zoom out and certain things feel like a really big deal in our day to day. And if we were able to kind of channel that energy into, you know, some other things and causes and stuff like that.
I also like the part of this story where she, you know, she's married to a man, she's Christian, and mm-hmm. she falls in love with a woman. And at the time that this is all happening, she's about to release this book called Love Warrior. It's been selected for Oprah's book club, almost guaranteed to be a bestseller. And it's about her marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, how is she going to release this book when she's about to basically start a life with not only somebody that isn't her husband, but a woman?
Yes.
And that she was so afraid that that was going to kind of like be the downfall of her career and that it wasn't gonna, the book was gonna bomb basically. Right. And then instead, when she came out with that information, she was just like flooded with support and love. And I love hearing stories like that where it's like the thing that you're afraid to tell people about because you mm-hmm. think it's gonna, oh my God, people aren't gonna accept me. And then it ended up being, now it's like this Untamed is mega best selling.
Book. Yes. And I believe she announced that she was doing that on her book tour at one of the events. I think she was there to talk about her book while also saying, my marriage is ending and I'm in love with a woman. And so she, you know, she had all this support and stuff, but she also got publicly excommunicated by like the church and got a lot of, you know, the opposite of that, the opposite of support. And, cut to now, like she has this amazing family where she has her wife and her former husband has a partner and all the kids are there. And like, they do things together, it looks like. And she just basically changed this narrative of what family is. And I thought that was really awesome. I remember as a kid, people being really surprised that my dad and my stepdad were friends. Like my dad, they hung out, they coached a basketball team together. They were seen out.
Yeah, that is unusual.
Right. And people are like, what is going on? This is so weird. And I really liked that. I liked that, you know, my parents were able to be around each other and not only just tolerate each other, but have a good time and have good conversation and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And Glennon opens up about the fact that there had been infidelity in her marriage with her husband. You know, she had
her part or his part?
On his part.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, just not feeling good in it for quite some time. And the moment she saw her wife for the first time, I think it was at some kind of book event, if I remember correctly from the book. Her wife walked in. And she said her inner self said to her, like, there she is. Like, she knew right away that that was crazy. Her person. And apparently everybody at the event could see this like connection and spark between them too. And she talks about some of the instances that were people coming up to her, like, I just feel like you really need to be in each other's lives. And here's like, you should reach out to her and like all this stuff. And apparently everybody could really see this, like, this instant connection between the two. And that she talks about everything. She talks about grappling with the idea of, do I stay in my marriage? Do I go? Do I trust that this is what I want? Is it selfish to trust this is what I want? And just her whole thought process around that and what that means for her as a mother, as a woman, as a daughter, everything. And I know for this episode, we're really focusing on the more social conditioning around gender, but she also goes into conditioning about a lot of other things. She talks about sexuality and body image and like diet culture, racial equality. She talks about the nonprofit that was birthed from all this called Together Rising, where her organization connects people. I think she calls them like the warriors in their homes versus the warriors like on the front lines, basically. Uh-huh. And they've raised a lot of money for different causes. So it's, I don't know, it just kind of, it can really spark a lot of things for you and inspire you when you kind of dig deep into what you actually want versus what you've been told to want.
Right.
Oh, there was another instance in the book where I think her daughter came home from school and was talking about how there's always a kid in class that doesn't turn his homework in. Like, he doesn't turn it in on time or he doesn't do his homework. And she was really, you know, her kid was really frustrated about it because he was holding them back from like getting a pizza party or something at work at school, you know? And, you know, Glennon talks about, she talks a lot about how she kind of responds to things now versus how she used to, just being more aware of her own, you know, reactions to things. She started asking her daughter, like, why do you get your homework done every day? Well, you make me do it. Okay. And what do you think would lead somebody to not doing their homework? Oh, maybe nobody's really telling him to do it. Oh, what would, you know, and kind of asking your kid these questions to basically get to the end result of, wow, maybe he doesn't have parents available to him at home. Maybe they're working late. Maybe they're not, you know, maybe there's something else going on, and building that insight and compassion into your children from a very young age. And she kind of makes this comparison of, you know, a kid who might be able to understand why somebody is not doing their homework or can't get their homework in becomes an adult who might understand why an adult is doing something or why somebody is acting. You know, I think she makes reference to why a parent might try to carry their child on their back over the border or something for a better life. So it kind of teaches you to look beneath the surface on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have any final thoughts on this topic, Kelsey?
I don't think so, but I'm really glad we did it. I think it's an important discussion to to dip back into.
Yeah, I recommend checking it out. She's very transparent about a lot of things. She also talks about like the history of abortion and the church being against homosexuality and all that stuff, where that came from. She talks about questioning authority in certain ways and how that, you know, the response was to that. And I really like her sentiment of the fact that instead of trying to avoid heartbreak at all costs, if you kind of lean into what breaks your heart, you'll usually find your connection and your purpose. And I liked that sentiment as well. So,
right. It's okay to not be happy all the time. Nobody's happy all the time.
Yeah. It's actually okay to like unpack why you're not happy.
Yeah. And have a cry. Have a wee cry.
And it's like, yeah, find something that you like, find a cause or a difference that you want to make in the world and go for it.
All right. Well, we have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from LPF 2018. They say, love this. I feel like these girls are so honest and real, and I love hearing their take on all things self-help. Especially during the pandemic, there is so much clutter when it comes to finding ways to self-help / self-care. But I feel like I can trust these girls to share good tools. I look forward to it every week. Thank you. Well, I love hearing so much. Your guys'
appreciate
sweet
it.
Reviews. Very much appreciate. You guys are lovely. If you haven't yet, take a second, go leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes if you can. We love staying in those top iTunes charts, and that way more people can find us and we can grow our community even more.
Absolutely.
So we're coming up on 4 years. I can't believe it.
Oh my gosh. That
How
is
the fuck
so
did that happen? June.
Wow. How untamed of us, really.
How truly untamed. Wild women showing their tits for meatball recipes. I don't know what's more untamed.
Oh my God. You know what's so funny? Was that on like the first episode I said that? Because somehow like that is carried through for all 4 years.
Well, that's like my favorite story of you ever. And there's a lot of them. And that's still, I don't think anything will ever top that. That to me is just like, if somebody were to write a character for television and you were going to describe in one sentence what the character was like, and you said that, you're like, got it. Cool. Totally understand this person. Like, I know what I'm. Yep. Cool.
You get their brand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Yep. Even the other night I was in the kitchen and Kim's like, you still haven't made that fucking meatball recipe that you showed your tits for.
Just wanted to show your tits to somebody. I don't think the meatballs were really important in that. But.
Yes. Do you have anything that you want to, any hot segments?
Yes, I want to give a shout out to my dear friend, Jamie Lee, who has a new show on Netflix called The Wedding Coach. It is so great. I binged the first 3 episodes last night. She's just wonderful. It's so fun. She wrote a book called Wediculous about kind of like going through the wedding planning process and helping people get through it in a way that they can still enjoy their wedding and take the pressure off of a lot of things. And it's just so fun. Each episode follows a different couple working through the issues that come up while planning a wedding and still trying to maintain a happy relationship. And it's just a feel good, fun show. So go check out The Wedding Coach on Netflix. And nice. Washington, D.C., I'm coming to you guys at the D.C. Comedy Loft May 13th through the 15th. I will be at the Comedy Club of Kansas City May 20th through the 22nd. And then a whole bunch of other tour dates coming up. You go to kelseycook.com for tickets.
Awesome. And I just want to give a hot rec really quick. I watched Self-Made on Netflix last night. It's an incredible series inspired by the life of Madam C.J. Walker, who is documented as America's first Black self-made female millionaire. Ooh. And she was a washerwoman who became an immensely successful entrepreneur by selling hair care products, opening up salons, opening up her own factory. And she employed thousands of women across the country with her training programs. And
cool.
I believe there were several artistic liberties taken in the telling of this story for the sake of the screen, but I thought it was great. And the only reason I even know or knew who Madam C.J. Walker was when I was first scrolling through Netflix is because of Rachel Rogers at Hello 7. She has a membership program called The Club that I was part of for several months this past year. And I just absolutely love Hello 7, Rachel Rogers, and her entire team over there. And she talks about Madam C.J. Walker a lot in her messaging for the Hello 7 brand. So I definitely have her to thank for familiarizing me with Madam C.J. Walker in the first place. And also just a big shout out to Hello 7 in general. They have a course inside their membership called Worthy, and it is a phenomenal life-changing course for women, especially where a lot of our beliefs, they kind of discuss where a lot of our beliefs come from, the systems that are in place that make us feel guilty for going after what we want. And she just overall encourages women to stop feeling guilty about making money or wanting to make more money. And what a big difference we can make in the world if more women had a good chunk of dough. Yeah. Anyway, highly recommend all of that.
Nice. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening as always. And we hope that you have a great week and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Self-Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self-Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you.